Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 3.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, Danny Eaney. Danny, aka the Freddy Krueger of vlogging, is a serial entrepreneur, business and marketing strategist, consultant, and coach. He's the founder of Firepole Marketing, a company who's on the mission to show the world that business can be better, business can be about partnership, business can be the foundation for a community of beacons, shining a light for all to see. Danny is also the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Engagement from Scratch, The Naked Marketing Manifesto, and the Audience Business Masterclass, among other things. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
All right, so let's dive into this. And just tell me, if you have to summarize your entrepreneurial journey with one word, what would it be and why?
It would be persistence. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's very easy to look from the outside or even to just, you know, be in the story and look back in hindsight and tell it as this very intentional, just-so story of how you went from one success to the other. But that's not how it is in real life. In real life, it's about trying something, and it doesn't work, and then trying something else, and it doesn't work, and trying something else, and it doesn't work. But between all those things not working, there are threads of things that do work. And you keep on trying, and you learn. And in aggregate, if you try enough stuff rapidly enough, it starts adding up and turning into something real. So I'd say persistence.
So I guess during your entrepreneurial journey, you had to go through some challenges, and sometimes people or organizations told you no. So are there times that you did not take no as an answer?
Absolutely. I mean, the nature of being an entrepreneur is that you see the possibility for something that doesn't exist yet, which makes it very hard for other people to grasp. So now, you know, that I've achieved not an enormous amount of success, but a certain degree of success, mm-hmm. when I say I'm going to do something or that I intend to create something, you know, some people are skeptical and some people kind of trust that I can sort of go some of the way to deliver on what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're just getting started, nobody's going to have that confidence. Everyone's just going to think you're crazy. So that's just part of playing the game.
And do you think that sometimes being, yes, as you said, persistent or a hard worker or a hustler could be a disadvantage?
Yes and no. So I don't think it's a disadvantage to have that trait or to act in that way. I think it can be a disadvantage when you lose track of what you're being persistent for. You know, there's the paradox of being an entrepreneur that you've got to strike a balance between, you know, never give up, but know when to quit. And so persistence is good. You know, trying something, it didn't work, so you try again and you try differently is good. Continuing to just bang your head against the wall is not good. So I guess what I'm saying is that persistence is great. Persistence, when it's not paired with a certain degree of adaptability and flexibility and a willingness to learn from your experiences, that's less good.
Yeah, of course. So during like all those times when, you know, you do try and errors, I guess, did you have any moment where you simply wanted to give it all up?
That's a good question. And I mean, I'm sure I have. I've definitely, you know, when things were more challenging in my business after being at it for a long time, I've definitely had moments when I thought, you know, it would be really nice to just get a quote unquote real job, not forever, but, you know, maybe for 6 months as like a vacation. But beyond that, no, I mean, I like doing what I'm doing. In fact, I have a very strong memory. This is something that happened many years ago when I was seeing someone else, not my wife. This is like a very long time ago. And so she was over at my place at the time. This is probably in 2007 or so. And she was having a few of her friends over, and they'd all come over, and they were all sitting and complaining about their jobs and about their bosses and about their hours and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there kind of, you know, on the other side of the room, just kind of half listening. And this was a very difficult time for me and my business. Like, my startup was in the process of falling apart. Like, it was a very difficult time. And I remember thinking to myself that, you know what, on the worst day of my professional life, mm-hmm. I still wouldn't in a million years trade it for theirs.
So you knew that being an entrepreneur was actually what you were meant to be.
It's what I want to be. It's what I enjoy being. It's who I am.
A lot of entrepreneurs deal with time management and being productive. So how would you say you manage your time, and what's your secret for optimizing your productivity?
So first of all, I don't believe in secrets. I think often when we're looking for, you know, that hidden secret, we're hoping that things can be reduced to be simpler than they actually are. At the end of the day, there's no substitute for just buckling down and doing the work. There's, I'm going to butcher the expression. I don't remember how it goes exactly, but something to the effect that, I remember it. It's that success is about, it's 10% inspiration and 90% mm-hmm. perspiration, right? Like, yeah. There's a certain amount of time you've just got to spend with your butt in the seat doing the work. And doing the work doesn't mean, you know, fiddling around answering emails. It doesn't mean, you know, playing with this or that productivity system. So moving your to-do list from this side of the table to that side of the table and, you know, copying it down in this different format. The best productivity system is to do the work. Mm-hmm. So look at your list of things you need to get done. And here's the way I like to prioritize things. I like to ask a couple of questions. So first, you've got to prioritize projects. There are always more projects, more ideas to take on than you're ever going to have time to do. The nature of being an entrepreneur is that these ideas come to you all the time. And the filter that I like to look at them through is to think that I am going to be better equipped and better positioned to make a project a success in the future than I am now. Because in the future, I'm going to know more. I'm going to have more experience, more resources. I'm going to be better positioned to do a good job of it. So it always is going to make sense to defer projects to later. The project that I should do now is the one that is going to take the least for me to make into a success, and that's going to do the most to get me to a position where I'll be able to do more and create more. Mm-hmm. So that's how you choose the project to work on next. But in terms of actually getting things done, make a list of the things that need to get done. And when you start in the morning, or even do this prioritization the night before, but you get up in the morning, you've got to pick one thing that you can do today that will get you a little bit closer to your goal. And you start your day working on that, and you finish that one thing, and then get to whatever else you have to do. And we all tend to, like, it doesn't have to be a huge piece of work. It can be small. We all tend to significantly overestimate how much work we can do in a day and underestimate how much work we can do in a year. So it's not about, like, having your, you know, monumentally productive day and you get, like, a ton of shit done in one day. It's about steady, consistent action. And it doesn't necessarily feel like you're making a lot of progress on any one day. But 3 months later, you look back and you're like, wow, you know, I've come a long way.
Jeff Walker likes to say baby steps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as long as it gets you towards your goal, even if it's a small step, but it's still going to get you there.
Absolutely. Jeff's a smart guy.
All right. So who has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today, especially to go through your challenges, Danny?
My parents. Definitely my parents. You know, there are a lot of people who influence you, and there's a lot of people that you learn from. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's your parents who teach you lessons like, you know, if you put your mind to something and work hard at it, you can make something happen. That, you know, failing is okay. Failing isn't a failure. It's just a setback. It's only a failure if you give up. Mm-hmm. And these are really the things that have helped me achieve the things that I'm doing. I mean, you know, yes, I've learned from this and that, you know, strategist and influencer and all that kind of stuff. But it's really the attitude more than anything else of being willing to try, willing for things not to work out, willing to take risks, and just be curious and interested to find enthusiasm and excitement in the things that I do find interesting. That comes from my parents.
So that's great values. Actually, I really like it when you say failure is only failure if you give up.
Yeah, otherwise it's just part of the process. Yeah. I mean, show me someone who has not failed at anything they've tried to do in a year. Mm. And like, that's a person who really isn't playing a big enough game that year.
So you gave us already a lot of tips and a lot of actually things that we could implement today, right now, to help our business growth. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into strategy. So did you already get to some point where your business was stable or stagnant for a while? And if you did, what was your strategy to get out of it?
You know, that's a great question. The answer is no, not really. I haven't really experienced a stagnation of my business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's mostly a function of how much work I've put into it. Mm. I work hard. I put in a lot of time. And it's, you know, a lot of people work hard and they don't experience results. And it comes down to one of two things in most cases. Either they say they're working hard, but they're not really. Because there's working hard and then there's really working hard.
Yeah.
Or they're working hard, but they're not paying attention. They're not learning from what's working and what's not. Mm-hmm. Because if you just keep doing the things that aren't working, then, you know, good for you for your persistence, but bad for you for you know, you're clearly not applying enough critical thinking to your business and you're not mm-hmm. going to get results. So doing a lot, and when you do a lot, there are a lot of things to learn from. There are a lot of things that some of them will work, some of them won't. But the next round of doing things, you're going to do more of the things that worked and less of the things that didn't. What I've found is, especially if you've grown your business to a certain size and scale, continuing to grow it really is a matter of, like, you've got, you know, it's interesting, actually, because it's two things. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm realizing there's more to it than that. What I was going to say is that it all comes down to how much time you put in, because it's very easy to get complacent, right? You've grown your business to a certain scale, you're achieving a certain degree of success, and it's easy to kind of fall into a rhythm of sort of coasting, because it's much less work to keep a business at the size it's already at than it is to grow a business. Growing a business is a lot more work. Mm-hmm. So you've got to keep pushing like that and really be pedal to the metal all the time. And this is something that I find challenging in my business. I mean, literally last night, I went for a run with my wife and we were talking about this, that it's really challenging for me that we're pedal to the metal like this all the time, because it means that we're growing and changing at a pace where I never get to get comfortable. Like, as soon as I get comfortable with what we're doing and what my role is, mm-hmm. it changes.
Do you think that you have to maintain that rhythm in order to feel that you're actually accomplishing things, or you wish that sometime you'll work less or put less hours into what you're doing?
No, I'm happy to be putting in. I can't speak for forever. I don't know what's going to change, but for where I'm at with my life right now, I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm happy to put in this time. And I want us to keep growing at the pace that we're growing. Now, I'm not saying that that's what everybody needs to do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you were asking about a situation where someone is plateaued and doesn't want to be. It's yeah. perfectly fine to say, you know, my business is at this scale and I'm happy with it. And that's okay. I personally have larger goals and larger ambitions. So I'm continuing to push. Mm-hmm. Now, the flip side of always being pedal to the metal like that is that it's not just about effort. It's also about risk. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing, in a lot of ways more scary when you've got an established business, because when you're just getting started, I mean, sure, there's risk. You're putting your time, you're putting your savings, there is a lot of risk. But on the other hand, you know, your business is just getting started, it's not making any money, you don't actually have that much to lose. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and that's what causes you to grow. And I've seen a lot of kind of quote unquote business experts who talk about how important it is to take risks. Mm-hmm. But what they really mean is that they took risks when they were getting started, and now they play it totally safe while they drive their BMW to their, you know, club of other successful entrepreneurs who are done taking risks. Mm-hmm. Continuing to grow, continuing to scale at in that rate, it involves taking on new risks and continuing to stretch out of your comfort zone. And when you've already built something that's working, it can be really scary to take risks with that. And I'm not advocating to gamble with your business. I'm not saying to take, you know, indiscriminate risks. But you know, there are risks that you still have to take if you want to keep on growing. And that's an if. That's completely to the judgment of each person to decide what they're trying to build.
So in your case, Danny, when did you realize that marketing was extremely important for your business growth?
I realized how important marketing is to the growth of a business when my previous business, which was we were building software, it teaches kids how to read. It was a software startup in 2007, basically fell apart because I was young and inexperienced and didn't realize how important the marketing and strategy side of things was. So I kind of learned the hard way, and then I, you know, stepped back and continued to do coaching and consulting in the space that I was doing, and those learnings in a lot of ways led to what I'm doing at Firepool Marketing today.
So what would you say was the struggles at that time?
Well, the struggle at that time is that, like many entrepreneurs, I mean, the challenge of being an entrepreneur is that often being an entrepreneur means you see the world and you see it in a way that it could be better. You can say, you know, I could build this to solve this problem, to make things better. And so you want to create that positive impact. So you create that outcome, you create that product, that service, that offer. And your focus has always been on what you're looking to create, which is awesome. And knowing how to market something, knowing how to sell something, knowing the business strategy behind it is not automatically attached to the idea of creating something awesome. Mm-hmm. And it is something that you have to learn. So that was really the issue for me. I mean, I started with, you know, hey, I could create something and this would be cool. I wasn't aware of the different elements that go into the business economics of making it work. It didn't occur to me that I have to think through, you know, what is my go-to-market strategy and how am I going to get people to take that first chance? And as it happened, I mean, you know, I was in the education space, which is one of the most complicated industries on the face of the earth. So it was quite a trial by fire. And I mean, I got burned out of that trial by fire. But, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You pick yourself back up. And even if you need some time to lick your wounds, you get back to work.
Exactly, like you did.
Mm-hmm.
So what are a couple of your favorite marketing strategies to promote your business that are working for you right now and that help you crush your competitors?
Well, I don't believe in crushing competitors. I believe in my take on business is more abundant minded. I can do well without my competitors having to suffer. Mm-hmm. The nature of good strategy and differentiation is that what I'm doing is not equivalent to what my competitors are doing. So people aren't choosing necessarily between me or them. It can be complementary. I believe in cooperation and complementarity more than aggressive competition. That being said, in terms of what is working for us really well right now, and what's worked with us well for a very long time, is rather than do what a lot of entrepreneurs do, which is have an idea for something and kind of go back to their bat cave and spend 6 months building their product and go back and hope someone's going to want it, really develop our offers in collaboration with the audience. So validate that what we want to create is actually what people need, and validate to the point of pre-selling. This idea of pre-selling is very powerful. Going to your audience, going to the prospective customers and telling them, hey, this is what I'm thinking to create. Is it something you want? And if they say yes, you say, okay, great. Well, I'm actually going to take on a pilot group of customers. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get in at a significant discount in exchange for their feedback on what they're getting. But you've got to pay for it in advance. Now, I'm only taking on this small group of people. So if you want, you've got to jump in now. And having them on board to give you that feedback. I mean, first of all, you have money up front, which helps you make a better product. Mm-hmm. Their involvement, their feedback helps you make a much better product. And if you can't get anyone to pay for it up front, then maybe people don't want it as much as they're saying.
Okay.
And you know that right away without having spent months and months or years and years and tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars developing something that nobody's going to buy.
So it's worked very good for your business right now?
Over the last 3 years, all of the very successful products that we've built were developed in this way.
That's interesting, and that's a great tip to implement and apply. What business book has influenced you the most, and why?
Which business book? There are a lot of business books. I mean, in general, so this is a bit of a tangent, but before I answer the question, there's a very interesting book, not the best business book I've read, but it's an interesting book, and it's called The Shallows. And it's about what the internet is doing to our brains and our attention spans. And basically, it's the idea that we are training ourselves to read in tweets and in blog posts and in short videos. We're training ourselves to have a very short attention span and not to think deeply about an idea. So, I mean, reading, I'll recommend a couple of books, and these are great books. But in general, reading a book every few weeks, a book every month or two, at the very least, if not I try to read a couple books a month. Mm-hmm. Immersing yourself in an idea to that degree, it develops a certain degree of mental stamina that is very important for your business. And so that's why it's hard for me to point to a single book, because I own hundreds and hundreds of business books, some of which are terrible, but many of which are very good, and many of which I've learned a lot from. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had to point to just one business book, it would be a book called Getting to Plan B by my co-author and Engagement from Scratch, Randy Commissar. He wrote it with John Mullins, and it is definitely the best business book I've ever read. It's a fantastic book about understanding the business model dynamics that are at play in developing a successful business and how to iterate those ideas when your plan A doesn't work, as it invariably doesn't.
All right. So let's go now into the inspiration part of the interview, where you get to share great tips in all aspects of an entrepreneurial life. So what is, from your point of view, Danny, the key to financial success?
The key to financial success is not to focus too much on the finances. It's to focus on creating good outcomes for the people that you're serving. If people are happy, they're willing to pay money. Now, that doesn't happen in the absence of business savvy on your side. So you've always got to be learning and growing and developing your skill set. But a strong focus on creating positive outcomes for the people that you're serving, coupled with a strong focus on developing your own knowledge and skills as a business person, those two things together are going to lead to positive outcomes pretty fast.
What is the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
The best spiritual advice I've ever received. I've definitely received spiritual advice. I don't know if I can think of a specific piece of advice. But I guess the best piece of, I can point to something. It's the idea that the battle for your character is always fought on the front lines. So it's a metaphor. It's basically the idea that, if you're struggling to be a better person, as we all are, then, there's the better half of who you are and there's the worse half of who you are. And you're never going to be faced with a situation where you have to choose between, doing something clearly obviously good or clearly obviously bad. Mm-hmm. But rather, the choices are always about the things that are right on the edge, the gray area that could kind of go either way. And if you aren't disciplined about trying to be a better person with those little things that don't seem to matter, then where that line is gradually moves in the direction of being worse and worse and worse. And if you push to just try to be better at these little things, then the space of things that are obvious, right thing to do gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the battle for your character is fought on the front lines. And it's like a muscle. If you neglect it and absorb and don't pay attention to it, then it becomes harder and harder. And that's important, because it's easy to neglect the development of your character as an entrepreneur because you get so busy with all the other things that seem urgent. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you find yourself in a position where you really struggle to be the person that you want to be.
So as an entrepreneur, Danny, we'll go through a roller coaster of emotions. So how would you say that you gain control of your emotions?
I don't know that you do necessarily gain control of your emotions so much as you kind of temper the impact of those emotions. It's always going to be somewhat up and down. Surrounding yourself with supportive, caring people who understand what you're doing is always helpful. And having a way of stepping away from your work and clearing your head is valuable. For me, that's often exercise. Going for a run and just disconnecting for a while is really, really important.
So would you say that going for a run is actually a good habit that helps you physically, or you have other tips for that?
I think that's a strong habit. I mean, it's important that whatever your you know, practices to be in shape are, to be physically fit are, they've got to be appealing to you. I mean, some people like to run, some people don't. But it's important to have a regular kind of physical activity, because you can't be at your peak mentally or psychologically or emotionally if you're not in good shape physically.
So to wrap it up here, Danny, is there something else you want to share with the All-Star team, like your words of wisdom or your success quote?
I don't have specific words of wisdom. I'm not that wise, frankly. But what I'd say is that, you know, it's easy for looking from the outside to say, oh, this is success, oh, this is not. It's very easy to gravitate towards those stories of phenomenal overnight success. But the truth is, as everyone who's achieved real success knows, you know, other people don't see all this happen, but real success is 10 years in the making, or however long it might be. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter, but it's never overnight. So you just focus on doing your work and learning and improving and getting better, and the rest will take care of itself.
So Danny, if people want to connect with you, where can they go?
The best place to go is my website, firepolemarketing.com. That's F-I-R-E-P-O-L-E, marketing.com. And there's a ton of free stuff there. We have literally, I think we hit publish the other day on our 700th article. We've got, you know, free books, resources, you name it. So there's tons of stuff. And if you want to reach me, you can just send me an email to Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, at firepolemarketing.com.
That's great, Danny. Thank you so much. This was such a great interview, full of great tips that we can implement actually right now today.
I'm very glad to have been helpful. I hope this has been valuable, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share some of what I've learned with your listeners.
It really has been. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Just because this episode of the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is over, doesn't mean your journey to marketing success is done. Go to marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/tools right now and download our free guide to the 5 tools you absolutely must have to crush it in your marketing. Download that right away, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast.